Well, it's already been good to be here this morning. I appreciate the Lord and just His sweet presence. And really, I mean, we can't have church without Him. I don't want to try. I don't want to stand here without Him. And thankfully, He knows that. And as long as we'll keep it in our hearts and in our prayers that we need Him, I believe He'll keep showing up. We ever get to the point where we think we don't need Him, we will be in trouble. But as long as we recognize that we can't do anything without Him,
yes, sir,
He'll just keep helping us. And I appreciate that. So we're still over here in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, and we're trying to finish this out. But man, there's been so much good stuff in this book, and I just appreciate the Lord helping me through it.
Yes.
You know, I stand here and teach, and hopefully it helps you, but really probably it helps me more than anybody. And I thank the Lord for that. But we've been looking here in verses 6 through 12, and we started by looking at the way that He came. He came by, the Bible says, by water and blood. And then we've looked at the witnesses that are called, and you know, we have the three heavenly witnesses there, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. And then we, last time I think, looked at those earthly witnesses, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And then lastly, we finished up here in verse 9, and we'll start the reading here and read down through the rest of the chapter. It says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which He hath left, or that which He hath testified of His Son. And here's where it all really just comes together. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Yes.
He that hath the Son hath life.
Right.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so we started there reading in verse number 9. We dealt with that last week. I won't backtrack much, but we see that there's a comparison of the witnesses. The witness is compared. You've got the witness of man and the witness of God, and that's,
yes,
where we finished up last week. Is if we're going to go obey man, don't you think it's much greater that we would obey God and listen to God, take His word for it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've been lied to a lot in life. And guess who's lied to me? Men. You know who's never lied to me? God's never lied to me. Whose witness am I going to take? I believe I'll just take what God says. You start taking what man says and trying to take that to the bank, it may or may not work. It may or may not be right. We don't just take everything, but we take what we do is we take what man says and we compare it to what God says.
Yes.
And that's how we know if what man says is right. So I appreciate that. So the witness is compared. There's no comparison. But we're going to pick back up in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And so here we see the first part. We see the witnesses are confirmed. Guess what? If you've been born again, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a witness down on the inside of you.
That's right.
In other words, you can know it by what God puts down on the inside. I don't know how this works, but I know that when you trust Christ, the moment that you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost comes to indwell you. He births you into His family. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the Word of God. All that stuff transpires in just, as far as I know, a moment. I mean, you can't see it. You can't see the transaction. You all understand, this is all spiritual. You can't see it. You can't lay eyes on it. That's why what we see is deceiving. It's what God sees that matters. And so what we have is the witnesses confirmed. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you want a witness, I don't find any greater in Scripture than that the Holy Ghost comes to dwell in the heart of every believer. I mean, there's no sweeter thing than to just sit here like this morning and just feel the presence of God.
Yes.
And know that He's here. And how do you know that? By the witness of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And that makes things all better, is all I know to tell you. But it's the Holy Spirit that puts that witness inside of the believer. And here's the thing, though. If you have that witness in yourself, that is not just a witness that tells you you are saved. But you have a record of eternal life that is on the inside of you that should come out and make you a witness to others.
That's right.
What this does is put responsibility on you. It says you have the witness in you. So that means it needs to come out every now and then. So God puts His witness that Christ is who He said He was down on the inside and changes the believer for all of eternity.
Right.
And from then on, it is your job to be a witness of what you've experienced. Everybody here that's been born again has a personal testimony, a personal interaction, a time, a place they've met Christ.
Yes.
And if you don't have that today, I understand you might not remember the date. You might not remember if it was 7:57 p.m. or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have a specific date of encounter with Christ.
Yes.
And if you don't have that, then I'll just tell you, you're not born again. He's got to pass by your way for you to be saved. If He's never passed by your way, you do whatever you want to with it. You live right, do right, baptize 40 times, it don't matter. None of that matters. Until you've had an encounter with Christ, you can't experience what we're talking about. But if you've ever experienced it, you remember it. Unless you've got a physical ailment, obviously, right? It's not, well, I think I did one time. It's not what you did.
Right, brother.
That's what I'm trying not to get ahead of myself.
Tell us.
But the thing about salvation that most people struggle with, and we'll get there in just a second, is that they're dependent on what they did.
Go ahead.
They're worried, did I pray right?
Go ahead.
Did I cry right? Did I repent right? None of that matters. You can't do anything right. Paul said, I know that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. There's nothing in you that can do this right. That's the reality of it.
Yes.
Last time I checked, Jonah had it right. We heard this the other night. Salvation is of the Lord.
Right.
If there's any saving done, it was Him. You didn't even know you needed to be saved apart from the Lord.
Right. That's it.
I sat for 9 years of my life. Never bothered me. I mean, really, I mean, I would get a little spooked here and there, you know, if I heard the right things or whatever, but there was never any personal conviction about it. I feared. I remember as a kid, I'd go in my parents' room, look, make sure they were still there, the Lord hadn't come. And I'd go back to bed, and I was fine. I was like, all right, we're still good. I sure don't want to lose them. I mean, I remember those things. But I also remember the time that man, it just got personal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was personal. Is that I can't remember who was sitting on my right hand, on my left hand. I was sitting right down the hallway there. I was on for some reason we was on the left side of the church instead of the right. That night, I remember that. And the invitation was given. Man, my soul was arrested for the first time. And I just recognized, man, I was lost and headed for hell. We had an old white Chevy Astro van. I left that night unsaved. Went out to the van, Jesse, and just sat. You know, most kids, we go out and play after church. I couldn't do that night.
Go ahead, brother.
Went out to the van and just bowed my head and said, Lord, if You'll let me get back tomorrow night. And I felt better. I'm okay for a little while. Tried not to think about it the next day. Brother Freddie Melton was preaching revival here. Come back the next night. I thought, man, I'd got rid of that for a little while.
Go ahead, brother.
Come back, sit down. Preaching got over.
Well, the invitation was given, but I didn't get an invitation from the preacher that night. I don't remember anything. I mean, I'm serious. I don't remember what the preacher said. I don't remember the song that was sung. I don't remember none of that. I remember it was like just God got a hold of me.
Go ahead.
And said, it is your time to be saved. It became personal, Jesse. Well, I got to looking around and there was nobody praying on the altar. And I thought, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? I ain't never prayed. Not like that. Don't know what to say. I don't know if I'm praying to Jesus, if I'm praying to God. I don't know how to do this. I mean, I'm serious. If you've ever been saved, you've probably been through these same things. I don't know what I'm doing. All these excuses. Lord, I can't pray by myself. Lord, please send somebody up there to pray. About that time I raised my hand, there's already folks on the altar. God said, it is your time to be saved. And all I know is I stepped out. And man, just the burden just fell off right there.
Yes, brother.
And I went on to the altar and I prayed, asked the Lord to save me, have mercy on me. But that feeling of relief, it was about the time I stepped out of the pew. When I let go from doing this right here in the pew. And he knew I was coming to him. That's all it took.
Yeah.
And come November, we're talking 30 years ago.
Hey.
And I'm still here. And he is too.
Yes, brother.
And I'm not saying I've got everything right. Man, I've made some bad mistakes. I wasn't planning on none of this, but it's okay. I've made a lot of mistakes. But he has never left me. Every time I've started a mistake, I've known it. Every time I needed to get right, guess what? I know it.
Yes.
Every time I say a wrong word to somebody, I know it.
Yeah.
What is that? That's the Holy Ghost.
Right.
You say, do you understand it? I don't understand it. But it's real. You can't have the Holy Ghost on the inside and just do anything and stay that way.
Right.
It don't work. You have the witness in yourself. It is confirmation that God is true, that Christ is who He said He was.
Yes.
And if you've ever had an encounter like that, you won't forget. Now, like I said, I understand. Don't get me wrong. You get dementia or something, there's no telling what you might forget. But as long as you're in your right mind, you can't meet somebody like that and forget it. You say, well, you were awful young. You were younger, wasn't you, Kevin?
Yeah, brother.
You ain't forgot it, have you?
Thank God.
My son, I think, was 6. Probably prayed one of the best prayers I've ever heard anybody pray. I tried to talk him out of it. I mean, I tried. Jesse, I'd never pushed him to get saved. I didn't have to.
Mind the Lord, brother.
That night, he slid right over here at the altar. I said, son, what are you doing? He said, I got to be saved from my sin. I swear, I'm not lying. I mean, I asked him. I said, okay. He just asked the Lord to save him. He said, Lord, all I want you.
Right.
I thought, I'll not forget that either. I said, Lord, all I want is you.
Yes.
I ain't been able to talk him out of it since. Folks, it's real. God makes a difference. Jerry was talking about it there. It is a real thing. This is not just some kind of fairy tale, something we just talk about and shout about. It is a real life change that occurs. And if you've ever experienced it, you know what I'm talking about.
But if you've been saved, you have the witness in yourself. And there ought to be times that that comes out. Sometimes I can't help but it come out. You ever been at work and said something, you say, I don't know where that come from? Sometimes it's that righteous anger when somebody says or does something that offends the Lord and you just can't hold it. They start blaming the Lord for something. I don't know about you, but sometimes those things just, I can't help it. It's not the Lord. The Lord ain't never done nothing but good to you.
Right.
But I appreciate the Lord, and I appreciate that this thing is real. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. But look at the next phrase. We see a woeful contention. It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. You see, for those that hear the truth of the witness of eternal life, and that life is in Jesus Christ, for people that hear the gospel and willfully refuse it, whether you understand it or not, you are calling God a liar. When you refuse the Word of God, when you willingly say no, I do not believe the words that you have to say. The Bible says you're calling God a liar. Now, God's not a liar. He cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. But it's a serious thing to be presented with truth and to say no to it. But this scripture here, if you really pay attention to what it's saying, you know, everybody that's never been born again is in a dangerous place, right? I mean, we understand that there's condemnation that's on the unbelievers and things. But I think everybody understands there's different levels of that as well, right? You take a kid that's never, they might have heard the gospel, but it's never become real to them. They're in a different state than somebody that's 20 that's heard the gospel and refused it. They're in a different danger zone, right? And God's gracious and merciful, and we understand those things. And I believe that those youngins that have never understood, have never been confronted with that truth, really, of being lost, I think they're okay. They're safe. That's exactly right. David said he couldn't bring his child back to him, but he was going to go to him. He had a trust that God was taking care of that young one. I think we can look at that example and understand what he's saying. But here we're talking about, I believe, people. It says, he that believeth not God. In other words, this is somebody that's been presented, Jesse, with the Word of God. They said, I won't believe that. What they're doing is calling God a liar. They presented with it, and they just continue a life of unbelief, a life of sin. And the reason that I think it's different than somebody who's not heard is because, you know, you start thinking about like Romans chapter 10 and what Paul said. Paul said over there, in Romans chapter 10, I'll just read this. This is real familiar. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, there's a difference in people that have not believed because they've not heard Nathaniel. But John, I believe, is talking about people that have heard and they've refused. You understand that there's a big difference in where you stand with God based on the light that you've been given. And to be given that full light of the truth and to say no to it. To be sitting in Amazing Grace Baptist Church.
Right.
To hear the gospel preached day in and day out.
Yes.
And to sit on the pew and say, I don't need that. I don't believe that. I don't want that. That's a dangerous place to be.
Yes, brother.
You see, John 8, 23 and 24 says, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins.
That's right.
It's that serious. It's that serious. If you stay where you're at, you will die in your sins. It's a serious thing to not believe what God says. Hebrews 10:31 says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Yes. Truth.
My goodness, folks.
Serious.
To call God a liar. Call God a liar. It's a serious thing. If you read over there in Revelation chapter 20, you know where the end is, right? If you're not found written in the book of life, be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's right. It is. That's what's coming to folks that refuse to believe the Word of God. But here as we come down to verse number 11. Let's move on. Verse number 11. We see the whole conclusion right here.
Yeah, brother.
He says, and this is the record. He's telling us, this is what I'm telling you, you got to believe. This is it, that God hath given to us eternal life. And here's the big point. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, it's a real clear, concise record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son.
Right.
It don't get any simpler than that.
Right.
That's how simple salvation is. It's understanding that if you want life, you'll get it through Him. There's no other way. There is absolutely no other way to get life. But as I was studying on this, I want you to flip over to the book of John with me. And we're going to go through this. I'll try to go through it quickly. But I want you to look. I'm not saying John is the book of life, but it's a book with a whole lot of life. It's got a whole lot of life in it. Just look at all these references that the record that specifically the Apostle John wrote about Christ. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1 to start with. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. In Him was what? Life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So right out of the gate we see that in Him is life. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Jump on down there to verse 34. It says, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. This is talking about Christ. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Chapter 4, verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Notice that's present tense. In other words, if you believed on Christ, you presently possess everlasting life. And then it goes into the future. It says, well, you might sin. People say, well, you might sin in the future, right? Well, here's what he said. And shall not come into condemnation. That's pretty simple. Shall not come into. In other words, if you've put your faith in Christ, you cannot come into condemnation. It's an impossibility. But is passed, currently, passed from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. Look at verse number 38 with me. It says, and ye have not this word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him you believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Are you seeing the common theme here? Who's the life? Christ. That's it. He's the only source of it. He's the only source. It goes on. Look at chapter 6, verse 33. Chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus said, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. It's just consistent. Look at verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Look at verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Then verse 66. From that time, you know, see, the disciples couldn't handle that hard saying the Bible teaches us. But look at verse 66. It says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? That everybody else has left. They said this was too hard. Will ye also go away? Look what Simon Peter says. It says, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Chapter 10, verse 9. Y'all come, if you need to pray, you come pray. Chapter 10, verse 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My Father which hath given them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Chapter 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Here's the question. Believest thou this? That's what he asked Martha. He said, believest thou this? Believest thou this? She said, saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Chapter 14, verse 6. We know that verse, right? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But then we go over to chapter 15, verse 13. Jesus said this, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life.
Yes.
For his friends.
Right.
He gave up his life so that you and I could have it. He gave it. No man took it. He gave it. But then in chapter 17, we're about to wrap up for the day. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee.
Yep.
As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. I like that real good. That they might know thee, the only true God.
Yes.
And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life. It's to know God and to know Christ.
Right.
You don't get one without the other.
Thank God.
Chapter 20, verse 30. Says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Catch that? These are written.
Yeah, brother.
He said, I wrote you enough. These right here that I've put in this book, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. We almost read every reference to life, eternal life, in the whole book of John, Kevin. And not once did I read, if you be baptized, if you say the right words, if you have this certain feeling. Nathaniel, it's none of that. It's none of that. There was nothing physically to be done to get eternal life. You know what you do? You take God at His Word and His words about eternal life through His Son. And if you want life, you get it one way, and it's through His Son. And when you place your faith in Him, it's done. Done deal. That's where life comes from.
Right.
Comes from His Son. In Him was life. And life was a lot of men. I hope it's been a help. It encourages me. There's nothing better than realizing that my salvation is not hinged on me.
Right.
I mean, Adam, I'm done. I promise, I'm done. But there was a long period of time that I struggled because I'd heard all these people talk about the sinner's prayer. It got big, seemed like, when I was younger. People talking about, you just need to come and repeat this prayer. Say this prayer. And I thought, man, Lord, I didn't say that. The night I got saved, I didn't say those words. I didn't know those words. Like, That wasn't something that I was thinking about, saying the right things. Lord, I didn't ask the question the right way. All those things that And that used to stir me up so bad. Brother Gary, it bothered me. I thought, Lord, is it right? Did I do right? All I know is I knew I was lost and you'd provided a way for me to get saved. And I come running to you. I just came to you. Said that you said thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm coming to you for it. You're the only source of it. But I've begged him at times. I've said, Lord, if I did something wrong, if I ain't got it right, if there's anything in this world that I want, Jordan, I want to know that I know that I know that I know that I'm right with him. And you know what I've figured out over the years? Is that that's a sign of somebody that's really right with the Lord. That no matter what the situation is, their desire is to be right with the Lord. It's not, I don't want to have a name for myself. I don't want to just look right. I don't want to just dress right. I don't want to just talk right and live right. All that stuff's nice, and I want to be a good testimony. But at the end of the day, when I close my eyes, and you're not there, and nobody else is there, and it's just me and God there, I want to know that me and Him are right with each other. That's what I want. And one of these days when I come to die, I don't want to be there waiting to determine if I was right with the Lord. So you know what's important is that we look in what the Scripture says and say, Lord, what does it take to make sure that we're right with you? And it's when we grasp that salvation is not in us, it's not in our works, it's not in all those things, but it's in a person. And it's the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get that, it makes it a whole lot more simple. And it makes the Christian life a whole lot more joyful. And it makes your confidence in being able to witness so much easier when you can say, well, it's not me.
Right.
It's Him. Yeah. But I'm afraid, Kevin, so many people have just, they're ignorant. They're just ignorant. I don't mean that in a bad way. They just don't know. And so that's what Sunday school, and that's what preaching's for, is to get you out of ignorance. And me, right? I have to hear it too. I need it. I don't like being ignorant, do you? I like to know the truth. Seems like there's a verse in the Bible talks about knowing the truth and it making you free. Yeah, I like to be free. See, you can be free from that fear, that condemnation, that guilt, if you know the truth. So I hope it's helped you today and been an encouragement. We'll have
hey, listen, before you put that Bible up, I was praying. I'm sure you probably read.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I'm certain.
Yep.
That when you was going through that, you read John 10:10.
Mm-hmm. While you was praying, preacher.
But I wish you'd rewind that record.
Yeah, we did. Listen,
if I can request a song to be sung, I can sing the scripture to be read.
Yeah.
And I ain't sure that there's been very many scriptures in that Bible that's ever helped me more than John 10. If the devil had his way, we'd all be dead for the morning. If the devil had his way and you was saved, you would lose it. 5 seconds after you had it.
Yep, that's it.
He is the thief. That's what
yep,
he said.
That's right.
But that's not where that verse is.
No.
Go ahead and read it.
All right. Can I back up a little bit?
We're going
to work into it, okay? We'll start up about verse number 7. Says, then Jesus saith unto him again, or them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, right? But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Ain't that a blessing? Ain't that a blessing? Man. Hey, he came that we can have abundant life. It's not just that you get born again and then you have to worry till you die. That's not what this thing is.
And so
many folks live their whole Christian life worrying about whether or not that what they've done is right or what
what I'm doing now, is it gonna displease God? Am I gonna say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing? Am I gonna lose it? Folks, it's not you. It's not your salvation. It's His salvation. David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It's His to give, and you can't take it. You can't pluck you out of your father's hands. He said that his father was greater than all. Folks, there is comfort. That people don't understand that.
Find the Lord.
There's, you know where every time I've struggled in my Christian life, I mean, Nathaniel, every time I've struggled in my Christian life, you know where I've found comfort? I've tried to talk to people. I've tried to get them to help me, to counsel me. And thank God for good counsel.
Sure.
But every good counselor, you know what they help me with?
Right.
They pointed me to this book and said, if you want help, if you want peace, this is where you find it.
Right.
You're not going to get it nowhere else.
That's it, brother.
And so I hope that today, I know it was real simple.
Good.
Real simple.
Good stuff.
But I wish people get a hold of that. Yeah. That our life is not in us. It's in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. So anyway, preacher, I'll just turn it over to you at this point.
I don't know what the time is, but I know when the Holy Ghost is here.